Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We will be talking about two main subjects, the war that is happening between Threads and Twitter. That is quite exciting. Threads, not super impressive. I've tested the platform. Most importantly, what sucks there is the IQ. They are fucking stupid. I mean, it's like you have attracted the most idiotic Twitter users and you concentrate them and they have nothing interesting to say. They're just like, oh, hello. Oh, yeah. Oh, new platform. Aha. Oh, yeah. Oh, look. Oh, look. We got images. Oh, look. Elon is going to be outcompeted. Haha. It is absolutely uninteresting. I predict a total fail of this platform eventually, although, you know, the size of Meta makes it so that inevitably Threads will have some degree. It will be capable of maintaining itself over many years, but eventually this is bound to become the platform of celebrities and people who have nothing to say, people who contribute to their account maybe once a week. It's going to be very empty. End of the line. And they're going to realize that there is something very special with Twitter. There are people making their living on Twitter. I make my living on Twitter in a way. I was able to survive without Twitter, but Twitter is my main source of income because that's where I sell books. That's where I attract people to the show, and that's where a lot of people are in contact with my clips and eventually they become contributors of the show. End of the line. Joel says Threads app has not yet launched in the EU. They are fine-tuning the censorship, which will be heavy. Oh my god. And on top of it, they've already started the censorship, so we'll talk about this. I'll also talk about my appearance or non-appearance on TMZ. It's the most ridiculous story. It's unbelievable. They didn't even know who I am. They took a 30 seconds clip of me. They wanted me to talk about Britney Spears. So they basically came to my account based on some factors. Perhaps they came to my Twitter because I was following TMZ on Twitter. Perhaps because I had a certain number of views on my videos in the last month, or perhaps because I had an account size. But they had no clue about who I was, and they were like, all right, comment on Britney Spears now. Britney Spears getting slapped in the face. Anyway, I'll tell you the whole story. It is fucking ridiculous. Now, I don't care. I do whatever I need to do to get exposure, so I'll never say no to a TMZ. It's but I don't even know if they use the clip because it was on cable TV. I don't have access to it. I'm not in the US, and they haven't uploaded this part of the show to their YouTube channel. So I have no idea. If someone out there has access to a replay of cable TV, check out TMZ Live, and if you can clip it and send it to me, I would appreciate, but I'll tell the whole story about this. Astronomers observe time dilation in the early universe. Events appear to unfold five times slower when the universe was a tenth of its present age, an effect predicted by Einstein. So basically, when we look far away in the early universe, the events play out in slow motion. That is an important observation. Astronomers have watched a distant universe running in slow motion, marking the first time that the weird effect predicted by Einstein more than a century ago has been observed in the early cosmos. The scientists found that events appeared to unfold five times slower when the universe was a mere 1 billion years old, or about a tenth of its present age. My God, the universe looks so much like a black hole or a white hole or a reverted black hole. It's the exact same thing that happens when something is headed toward the event horizon. It appears to approach the black hole over an infinitely long amount of time. It freezes in time from the perspective of the outside observer. And for us, looking in the past of the universe, we see the same effect, a freezing in time. New guy says, a white hole, what is it? A white hole is a theoretical construct that would be a black hole from which, instead of matter going down inside of it, matter constantly expands out of it, gets out of it, basically. It's kind of think of it as a repulsive black hole. Never observed, but some people claim that the entire universe and the whole idea of the Big Bang is actually exactly what you would expect if you were inside a white hole, because the universe expands. The universe at the border now we know was slower, at the border in the sense at the time border, at the event horizon of our observable universe. The same thing happens that would happen in a white hole at the event horizon of the white hole. T.S. Apostolos sends a super chat. He says, this is just to distract from broken Big Bang theory. They are now inventing dark time, James Webb data as early galaxies with too high redshift, too young. You can think this. I have not been convinced by this kind of arguments. Show me the numbers, show me how it doesn't work. But I don't think there is such a problem. I don't think that early galaxies are too young. I think there's much space to adjust the models to think of galaxies. I remember this was an article you made me read. So what I remember from this article is, the galaxies were just detected to be earlier than previously thought, but not thought in a hard way, but thought. And it was a very small fraction of difference. So we were basically just 100 million years off from what we observe. I think there's plenty of explanation that could totally satisfy this. Blanket says, Jeff, what do you think about Sweden banning Google Analytics? I was trying to search for this news item. I didn't find it in time. Sweden ban Google's Analytics. Let me do the search now. Stop using Google Analytics, warns Sweden's privacy watchdog as it issues over $1 million in fine. TechCrunch. Sweden's data protection watchdog has issued a couple of fines in relation to exports of European users' data. So I don't know, is that this news item? Because I don't see a ban, but I guess perhaps there was a ban 3 days later, because that's 3 days ago. Listen, I don't have a strong opinion. European countries tend to go harsher against big tech because they don't benefit from big tech. So the American government benefits incredibly from big tech. So they let them get away with anything. The Europeans are kind of, although you would think of them as cucked leftists, they are cucked leftists who don't feel included in the whole big tech. And so they correctly perceive big tech as a foreign entity that's costing them stuff. You know, there's a lot of money that's flowing out of Europe just because big tech is so American. So, I'm fine with it. It's part of the political dynamic for Europe to be leveraging their power Steven Robinson says, Jeff, did you see the post I tagged you in about a film production company making libertarian content? Yeah, I saw this, but I was wondering what you want me to do with this. but thanks. I mean, it's good to know that it exists, but I didn't know what to do with it. Solar Power says, I've raced past the key milestone of 30% energy efficiency after innovations by multiple research groups around the world. The feat makes this a revolutionary year, according to one expert, and could accelerate the rollout of solar power. Yes, ultimately it boils down to we need the most efficient possible solar panels for it to be any close to worth it. But it's exciting that we got above 30%. I would like to know, though, at 30%, how much do you have to pay for that panel? Because if it's a small increase of efficiency above the other panels, but it's a huge increase in price, then it's not going to be worth it. Dino Legovic says, Skynet wants your DNA sequence. Get PCR tested before the coof kills you. Remember, anal tests are better tests. Okay, interesting. Aiden Michael Fincher was struck in the head by a stray gunshot. Aiden's black neighbors, Corey Likes and Tia Norwood, got into an argument which became physical and ended with a struggle over a handgun. During their fight, the weapon fired, the bullet passed through a wall and killed 20-year-old Aiden, who had been spending the day at home with his pregnant wife. Unbelievable. How many guys have the chance to be 20-year-old and have a pregnant wife? And, you know, he ends up in a neighborhood that's violent. He ends up in a neighborhood where there are people who don't know how to use guns. And he's doing really, really nothing wrong because he's in his house. It's not like he's looking for provocation. You're inside your house. A stray bullet comes in, passes through the wall and kills you. That is so sad. The amount of cock blocking, like, this guy is part of the 1%. The 1% guys at 20-year-old who are not incels, who have a baby on the way, who have their things in order, but he lives in the wrong neighborhood. I don't know. Perhaps they had to choose this neighborhood because they were young and they didn't have much money. I don't know. But it's a delusion to think, oh, well, we're just going to live our life and we can live it anywhere. Where you choose to live will matter. It will matter. It will determine how much you get attacked, how much you get subjected to violence. Sam Hyde, 2070 paradigm shift is prophetic speech at TEDx. He had said most of the major cities will be replaced with vast pleasure domes used exclusively by the Excelsiites. Sam Hyde, back in the days where he did his TEDx troll talk, the 2070 paradigm shift, and look at what we got in Vegas. Exactly what Sam Hyde had predicted. A pleasure dome, a vast pleasure dome, used exclusively by the Excelsiites. They built this gigantic ball that has TV screens basically all across the surface on the outside. How much does it cost to power this? I mean, this is one TV screen for each resident of Vegas. It's a massive amount of electrical consumption. What the fuck? So now they can display anything they want on this ball. Oh my god. And the opening salvo of this new performance place will be U2. U2 will be singing inside the ball. Dino Rogovic says Sam Hyde must be well connected. I just think Sam Hyde has a crazy mind, and his trolling just tends to become a reality. I think that's what's happening. All right, so I want to tell you this. What is playing? Oh, the sound is playing. I want to tell you the story of TMZ that contacted me yesterday for me to appear on their live TV cable show, cable TV show. And I was like, what the fuck? So I only informed my Discord. I didn't tweet about it because when things go well, I don't want to mess them up. I just got invited on TMZ. It's like, I don't want to say anything that could lead them to want to de-invite me. So yesterday they contact me through their official Twitter channel and they say, do you want to be on TV? Would like you to comment about the news. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. My time is always available at any time. I will make time in my schedule to appear on TMZ. So I say this, and okay, they schedule. It's a whole day process because I have to spend the day getting informed about really like current news. Like this is TMZ is like 3-hour news cycle very much. So I have to be aware of the news at the 3-hour time point at least. Before the interview begins. So this morning I woke up at 8 a.m. I wake up, I start researching. I know everything about the news. I'm ready for anything. You can say, JF, what do you think about Blueface getting beaten by his ex-girlfriend? And I'm like, oh, I have an opinion on this. I'm scanning the news to get prepared at anything, and some of you guys on the show yesterday were telling me, Jeff, you should be prepared. I mean, it's very weird that they're inviting you. I agree. So they might be trying to attack you. It might be a hit piece about you, and I'm prepared for any eventuality. So I'm in contact with their staff through Skype for hours before the show. And he's like, here's the list of 10 news items that we could cover. Select the 3 of them and tell me the 3 that you would like to comment about most. And I'm like, okay, I selected these 3. And the news items are drama, low-level entertainment, fucking crap. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's TMZ. I am an author. I never say no to any sort of exposure, good or bad. I'm going to talk about Jackie Chan and Britney Spears all you want. So here I select my 3 news items. The first news item, I say this is my favorite one because I have much to say about this. It's the Threads. The new Threads app from Mark Zuckerberg. I was banned on Twitter. I was saved by Elon. I'm very much aware of the civilizational issue here in terms of free speech. And so I said, that's my first choice. Second choice, Jackie Chan slammed by fans for abandoning a lesbian daughter, Eta Nung Chuk Lam, after viral video emerges. And I say, this is my second choice. My angle would be as follows. I believe that in our society, we are dismissing way too much parents who exercise their free right to cancel their children because they disagree with their lifestyles when they become adults. And I believe it is entirely possible that Jackie Chan had hopes that he would be a grandparent, that his daughter would live a reproductive lifestyle. She has chosen against it. On top of it, she never knew him really because she never wanted to know him because she was raised by a single mother and she says she's happy about this. And so there is no obligation for Jackie Chan to be caring for his throwaway daughter who he never knew, who was raised not by his own decision, but by the decision of his single mother and of her single mother and her. To not ever see him and not ever interact with him. So now she's on the streets and she's appearing with her lesbian girlfriend and saying, oh, we're poor now, we're on the streets, I can't believe anyone wants, no one wants to help us, we live under a bridge. It is, and people were pointing out that Jackie Chan is a multimillionaire. I believe that it is not the responsibility of Jackie Chan. If he disagrees with the lifestyle of his adult daughter, he has no obligation toward his adult daughter. That's not like a child that you abandon who cannot help themselves. Adult people can make choices in life, and some of these choices may alienate them from their parents. So I'm like, this is my second talking point. I can do it. And I was imagining the TMZ staff's eyes getting bigger and bigger. And among the choices that he gave to me, I also said, this is my third choice. Keke Palmer's boyfriend defends shaming her outfit. I have standards and morals. So there's this woman who appears with an outfit. She's a mother. And the outfit is showing her fat thighs and ass. And this guy says, the outfit, you know, it's a little too much for a mother. Fuck this outfit. That's his comment. And so I'm like, I can have an angle for your TMZ show on this. My angle will be as follows. It is time we bring back female shaming in our society. There has been way too much twerking behavior. Crack whores are everywhere on the streets. They need the help of men to guide them toward the right direction. And I believe that what he has done here, Keke Palmer, although I personally don't take issue with this slightly revealing, bottom, he has acted in a way that we should act more, which is shame women more for their abuse of sexual displays. And then I get on an audio call with the TMZ staff, and the guy speaks like the gayest voice possible, and I'm not laughing about it. It just seems like this person was gay. No judgment. And he's like, you were gonna put you for sure on the thread stuff with Elon Musk. For sure, I'm not going to put you on this story where you say shaming women is good, or on this story where you say Jackie Chan is entitled to abandon his lesbian daughter. You are for sure going onto the thread stuff. I think it's cleaner. He didn't say cleaner, but you know, he was letting me know by his voice that we're gonna try not talking about these subjects. All right. Let's talk about threads, Elon Musk, and the question of free speech, and it's going to be all soft. Let's go. Let's do it. Now, the show starts on cable TV. I can't follow it, so I don't know what's going on. But the TMZ staff calls me, and he says, oh, shit, bro, sorry. It turns out we're not going to do an extended segment on the thread stuff. It's not big enough. And right now we have trending on Twitter. Big story. Britney Spears gets slapped in the face by an NBA player. Is there a way you can comment on this? And I'm like, now it just struck me. This is not an interview with Jean-François Gariepi. This guy is expecting me to be a caller like I'm some just general pop star fan just coming onto the show and say, I have a question about Britney Spears. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy doesn't know who I am. None of them knows who I am. They just picked me at random based on my Twitter follower count or something like this. And somehow I made it through the... And I'm like, oh, they want me now to comment on Britney Spears. Well, Papa JF always provides. So I was like, I was trying to put myself into it. I had a couple of minutes of preparation. I was like, what if I cared really, really much about Britney Spears? What if I was a pop star fan? What would be my take about this? What if Britney Spears smacked in the face by San Antonio Spurs security? What if that mattered to me? And so I read the story and I'm like, you know what, TMZ, I can have an opinion on this. My opinion will be as follows. Britney Spears suffers from bipolar disorder. I believe that Britney Spears was in a hypermanic episode, as someone who has seen and who has viewed a lot of people and interacted with a lot of people who suffer from bipolar disorder. My hypothesis is that she got too enthusiastic and creative in her hypermanic spree. She went toward the basketballer and tried to hug him or tried to approach him in a way that was too aggressive, too enthusiastic, too eccentric. And the security guard just did what he had to do. His job was to protect the basketballer so that he doesn't get injured. And to the guard, she wasn't Britney Spears. She was just a random woman potentially approaching the guy with dangerous stuff. And he's like, okay, we're going to take that. And so I connect on Skype and he shows me what's happening live. But he also says, we're going to record your intervention as a separate clip. You're not going to talk directly to Harvey Levine. I'm like, okay. And so he says, okay, when I say go, 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 you go. And so I'm like, he says, go, go, go. And I'm bombarded in the earphones. I'm bombarded with the audio of Harvey Levine speaking live. Another caller that was talking to Harvey Levine and this guy saying, go, go, go. And I have this spam of audio. And I'm like, okay, JF, you have to keep a straight face. They are bombarding you with false audio streams. That is not what's currently happening. They're trying to record a clip. So I'm like, do a perfect performance. So I ignore the audio assault in my ears. And I'm like, hello. My name is Dr. Gariepi. I am from Northern Canada. My hypothesis is that Britney Spears, like many people who suffer, and I lay out the theory, she has a bipolar disorder, she has a hypermanic episode, she was too enthusiastic, too eccentric, she ran toward the basketball player, and the security guard interpreted this as, oh my God, it's a random fan, it's not Britney Spears. She thought in her head, I'm Britney Spears, I can certainly hug a basketball player. But the security guard didn't see it that way. He saw a random woman approaching the basketballer. So he took issue, protected the basketballer, and that's it. So he says, the gay employee of TMZ says, oh, that was actually pretty efficient. That was very good. Because he was like, limit to 30 seconds. He was yelling in my ears, limit to 30 seconds, just 30 seconds. And I was like, and I timed it, boom, 30 seconds, superb delivery. Despite the audio assault, despite the lack of concentration. So he's like, holy shit, that was good. Oh, that was good. And I'm like, all right, you got what you wanted. Bye-bye. Thanks for inviting me. So I don't know what happened with this clip. Did they take the clip and they played it on cable TV and perhaps it's not yet uploaded on their YouTube channel? Would it be uploaded later? Did another staff of TMZ look at the clip and say, oh my God, this is JF Gariepi, we don't want his question, and then they canceled the clip? I have no idea. But I have committed to a delivery and I delivered. Because Papa JF delivers on all of his promises. Blanket says, JF, this sounds like TMZ is assaulting and insulting your intelligence. I mean, when you want to play the game of public exposure, that is just the news business. The news business, they never know what they're headed for before coverage. They don't have preparation time. They can't inform you in advance. And you can't really know these things. And so when you play with that kind of game, you have to accept all of these things. But it's kind of sad when you think about it, that in this modern media space, they wouldn't see the quality that I can bring. Like, you know, there's a way you can maximize viewership if you get Papa JF, and there's a dozen ways in which you can approach it. You can approach it trying to hit piece me. You can approach it trying to get some special info from me. You can approach it, if you want, from a Jeff Epstein perspective. There's a thousand ways you can approach me and get the views for it. But they chose none of this. They chose this cheap, oh yeah, let's talk about Britney Spears. That's the hot thing right now. And then I was like, you know, is my admiration of TMZ justified at all? Because I look at their, I then look at their Twitter account. I'm bigger than these people. Video, 1,000 views, 3 hours in, 3 likes, 2 retweets. Video, 3,000 views, 15 likes, 4 retweets. Those are low numbers. I do better than this on my bad videos. I do videos in the 50K, 200K range when I do good. I do small videos where I do 3,000, 5,000 views, but I get a couple of dozens likes on the smallest ones. They get 10 likes, 3 retweets with a golden check mark. And then I go on their YouTube channel. I go on their YouTube channel, they have 1,000 views, certain videos, 3,000 views, some other videos. So basically, despite all the censorship, all the bullshit, and all the lies, I'm bigger than them in 2023 still. That's unbelievable to me. There was a time in my life where I realized I was bigger than CNN, when CNN was just starting out on YouTube, and I was like, wow. They have a difficult time. Of course, eventually Susan Wojcicki pushed the button and they became big. But I'm bigger than TMZ. I was making them a favor. I was doing them a favor to be bringing my audience to them potentially, and they treated me, I would say, not in an optimal fashion. Well, too bad. I'm not pissed at TMZ though. I think they should invite me to seriously discuss some news. You know, when you give me those 30 seconds, it's like, yeah, I can deliver something in 30 seconds. But, you know, I can do much more. I can do much more. Blanket says, JF, just looked to see if TMZ uploaded the clip of you. So far, nothing yet. I'm sure it won't be a clip. I'm sure it will be at the end of the episode, somehow in a Q&A section type of thing. So I'm sure what we need is a full episode recording. But I checked, the full episode recording they uploaded today wasn't about Britney Spears, so it was something else entirely. But if they ever upload a full episode with Britney Spears subject, maybe you'll find me at the end. That's where I would expect to be, but anyway, what do you want to do? You know, sometimes you have to be giving a lot and receiving little. But there are things you just can't say no to, and you pursue them and you see what happens. Go Away says, JF, are you going to put TMZ contributor into your Twitter bio now? Very unlikely. You know what I even did for them? I actually redid this video to remove the JFG tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time, just to get the flags in. Because I asked them politely, hey, you know, in my normal stream setup, I do advertise the name of my stream. Do you want me to remove it? Are you comfortable with the flag of Quebec, the flag of the U.S.? And they said, well, the flag of US and Quebec is fine, but we don't want anything that would lead to a social media end all. So I was like, okay. So I spent the morning re-editing this video, removing the JFG tonight. I've done some work for them. Stress Channel says, did you get to plug your book? Absolutely not. Mark D's channel says, Jeff, any updates about Anna the Mouse as she showed up in your studio again? No, because I actually used a trick that someone suggested yesterday. I patched the hole, but not just with crazy glue leading to a kind of plastic structure. Before putting crazy glue, but not crazy glue, but, you know, some good filling glue. Before putting the filling glue, I've put a, how do you call this? A steel wool. And let me tell you, just pushing in the steel wool, I bled from the thumb. So I hurt my thumb just pushing in the steel wool. If a mouse tries now to reopen this hole, the mouse is going to be going insane. Did you use the glue on your hair, Jeff? No, I did not. Generally, it is not recommended to be putting glue in your hair. So the battle of the century is starting. And one of the predictions I had done in my Christmas stream for 2023, I had said 2023 will not be a year of big, big events and big news, but it will be a foundational year because of the evolution of the internet infrastructure. Was this a correct prediction? Looking back, holy shit, it was accurate. I said that 2023 would be the year at which it gets determined which platforms control the public conversation, which platforms are the ones to win if you want to win the political race. And it's happening. Mark Zuckerberg is trying to get his slice of the pie of the online political conversation. Mark Zuckerberg's first tweet in over a decade is a playful jab at Elon Musk's Twitter. Mark Zuckerberg published this meme without caption. Listen. You, me. I don't know. He's trying to suggest this is Twitter versus Threads. They're the same. Today, I would like to make the argument that Threads will be a big failure. I will list a couple of arguments. Argument number one, a pale copy of something else is very rarely successful on the internet. When we have seen the internet domination game being won by a website, it's because this website was bringing a foundational shift in a technology. You know, when Twitter came out, there was nothing like Twitter. Everything was annoying. Facebook posts were painful. The interface was painful. There was no way to expedite the political conversation the way Twitter was doing it. When YouTube came out, of course, it was the only place where you could get, you know, video constantly from independent producers. So the first reason is a pale copy never wins, historically. And, you know, it's been true for the Twitter clones. Gab didn't win. Minds didn't win. Parler didn't win. Getter didn't win. Truth Social didn't win. So historically, you can't just copy Twitter and become better than Twitter. Because at best, you attract a subset of what Twitter attracts. That is the first reason Threads will fail, because I've tried the platform. It is just like Twitter visually. In terms of content, that is the second reason why I think Threads long-term will fail. although it will attract its bunch of leftists and celebrities and people who don't want the challenge of the true PvP public space that Twitter is. The second reason is the content there already extremely feels super narrowed into the everyday conversation of absolutely zero importance. I was hanging out on there, the type of people that are on there, they think that just making a thread about whatever crap that they're doing, like, oh yeah, right now I'm going there. Oh yeah, right now I'm going to a party in Miami. Oh yeah, it was fun yesterday. And here's what I'm doing today. It's a bunch of normies. It's a bunch of normies who will be selected for general leftism, normiehood, and kind of celebrity type of hanging out. But the problem with this kind of content is that it's not evolved, it's not refined. You can get 20 people, perhaps, interested in your tweet about your breakfast morning. And you can get perhaps 2 million people interested in a tweet like this from a celebrity. But this is not a product that will attract minds and serious conversation and serious challenge. It is just, it's an equivalent of Facebook without the pictures. Like, hey, here's some update for my family. I'm here and I'm going there. That's very Facebook culture. It's when you update your friend network because you're looking at developing a barbecue network, basically for social aggrandizement. But Twitter is a totally different thing. Twitter is a public space for political speech. You can have on Twitter sometimes an update. Like sometimes I would put photos of my greenhouse. But those were not, this is not the bread and butter of Twitter. The bread and butter of Twitter is extremely evolved, extremely refined competition by political thinkers to win the algorithm. There's no such thing on Threads, and I don't think it will develop long term. So that's the second reason, that the content will never get to a point of intellectual interest. Because it's too normy, it's too Facebook, it's too. Nicholas Petrus says, freaking normies. Elon's biographer Walter Isaacson has commented on Elon's relationship with Twitter, saying that he's almost addicted to the drama that comes with Twitter. Twitter is something he loves almost to the point of compulsion, Isaacson said. I told you guys this yesterday. To those who were saying, Elon Musk doesn't understand Twitter. He's not a fan of Twitter. No, he is. He is addicted to Twitter, like pathologically addicted. Breaking: XCorp threatens to sue Meta over Twitter clone Threads in a letter to CEO Mark Zuckerberg for engaging in systematic, willful and unlawful misappropriation of Twitter's trade secrets and other intellectual property. So we're going to get a legal interaction on between Twitter claiming that its intellectual property has been taken. It's going to be interesting to see if Elon succeeds at leveraging the judiciary to get something, perhaps get a payment, but I don't know. The claim in the letter is that Threads has been developed by Twitter employee on the fast. They went quick when they were fired from Twitter. They were hired quickly by Mark Zuckerberg, and he used all of their knowledge to develop Threads. You know, it's viable as a legal theory. These employees were bound probably by secret of trade and contracts. Even if they're fired, they are bound after the fact of being fired. So it seems that there would be a basis to make a case in court, but at the same time, it's kind of a long shot. It's like most of the features that I see on Thread, yes, they come from Twitter, but they've also been copied by 10 other websites, Getter, Parler, Minds, Gab. Those have become standards because Twitter has not defended these features as its intellectual property. But perhaps Elon Musk can argue in court, well, this is different. This was done by the ex-employees of Twitter. But how much info would he be able to get on discovery? I don't know. I've seen posts you people wouldn't believe. Someone at Vice was complaining that his first try at Threads left him completely shocked because he saw pictures that were disgusting. I didn't see anything disgusting. In my trial, what I've seen is very, very normy, crappy conversation. Very uninteresting. Everyone talking about, oh my God, Thread is so nice. It's so friendly here. And that is my third reason why Threads will fail long term. This makes me think about the movie Blackberry, which is a Canadian movie that was made in 2023, I believe, published in 2023. It's a movie about the story of Blackberry. And Blackberry was a dominant player in cell phones, basically before cell phones were fully adopted by the general public, by everyone, before the iPhone and before the Android phone, of course. They had an advanced computer, basically the first smartphone. And they were very much targeted toward the business people. You know, you had a BlackBerry because you were a CEO of something or something like this. And at the end of the movie, the guy who was very successful at getting BlackBerry to be successful initially, he kind of loses his mind. And as the iPhone gets out, he tries to make the very dinosaur feature of the BlackBerry kind of appealing again, but in a new form. So he goes insane and he starts saying, well, you know, it's all about, you know, the BlackBerry, we have buttons. And it's like he kind of doesn't understand that the market is moving away from buttons because now we have a touch screen and it's better in every way, and he kind of stubbornly pursues this, well, you know, the BlackBerry still gives you the feedback of the touch of the keyboard. iPhone will never give you that. So he tries to develop argument to basically justify that his dinosaur technology is actually the best thing, and he loses the market because of this. I kind of feel the same in how Mark Zuckerberg came out today with very bad marketing for his Threads. He said, our hope is to make this a more friendly place. The third reason why Threads will fail is that this is the internet, sir. The people who have built this place, they don't want friends. We're not here for friendship. We are here to perform our task of establishing the information network of humanity. And this information network is disserved by any attempt at looking socially good, wanting to fit in, wanting people who are friendly around us. Those things are not drivers of internet success. That doesn't mean that your platform must be drama-oriented or must be letting people away with massive insults or harassment. But in general, it is just not an argument. If that's your only argument, you're kind of like the BlackBerry guy whose only argument for his phone is, oh, well, we still have the buttons. You can still feel the buttons when you press them. It's like, friendship is not what this world has been built for. It's been built by autists for autistic purposes. And it is so behind to be thinking that friendship and good feel good type of post by celebrity will attract people to become addicted to a social media. It won't happen. Because the game is played at such a different level on Twitter. Twitter is addictive because it is the place where you will get hated if you're wrong. If you start censoring, if you start wanting to build around the friendliness of your platform, you won't get the necessary feedback for an actual political conversation. And therefore, your website is really just Facebook in text. It truly is not a Twitter killer. And there's a four reason here. A four reason why Threads will fail. Threads has already started censoring. We've had people who were known conservatives, like very tame conservatives, subscribe to the platform. And when you try to follow them, it already says, this person has been known to provide misinformation on a repeated basis. It's like, this person has just joined a couple of minutes ago. You're telling me that this person in minutes has already been known to spread lots of misinformation. So way too much censorship. This will turn it into a bread tubing circle jerk and celebrity circle jerk. And it just won't work. Because we have the leverage. We have the already existing Twitter that attracts the actual political confrontation. Trying to build a circle jerk will feel extremely extremely small for anyone who gets onto this platform. So in conclusion, for these four reasons, I believe that long-term Threads is bound to fail because it is a misplaced attempt at making it look like it's a Twitter competitor, but fundamentally, what I see is a Facebook and an Instagram that is deprived of the visual aspect of the experience. And honestly, the average IQ of the people you've attracted up to now, just in the first day of the platform, the average IQ is low enough that my prediction is they can't develop an interesting political conversation because their brain can't. They're going to need Instagram. These people are fucking stupid. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, let me go to your first super chat first. Jeff, I am always busy and never catch your live streams, it seems lately. Congrats on the TMZ experience. I can relate to what you've seen, that actually you are bigger than your peers. Maybe next time you can invite them on your show. As a low IQ Valley girl, gossip snippet at the end of your show. Yeah, I'm going to be like, I have very important race and IQ subjects to cover today. Harvey Levin. But if you want to talk to my staff and record a 5-second thing about the whole Britney Spears story and tell me what you really feel about it. I'll react live after my race and IQ expose. That would be awesome. Excellent idea. And he says, Jeff, further to previous comment about your comparative big dick status on Twitter versus TMZ, I think that this is why the censorship is needed. The powers that be absolutely know that without a handicap, our sphere with personalities like yourself, Ryan, and others will accelerate to total domination. Oh, absolutely. I've seen that domination. I was part of it. I was the biggest show on YouTube. Can you believe this? I was the biggest show on YouTube. Even if for a moment, I was this when I was at Warski Live. I was at the top of the world just by free market competition and just delivering my thoughts. So I absolutely know what you're talking about. They are trying to engineer a defeat because these celebrity and mainstream outlets and everything, they actually get 3 retweets and 10 likes. That's what they're worth. And I don't want to dunk on TMZ. I've already explained yesterday how much I respect TMZ from a journalistic standpoint. but they're not big. And, you know, we have to deploy so much more effort, so much more hard work on by a single person to beat these teams, to be more interesting, to not just be more, like, do a better job from a journalistic perspective, but to be able to keep zero dead hair for 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one does this. Harvey Levin doesn't do this. No one does it. No radio host does it. They have these little jingles. I can keep zero dead hair 2 hours a day for my whole life. There's not a half a second with no JF speech on my streams. And we have to seek the information ourselves. We have to have a personality that is funny and pleasant to listen to, even if in an autistic way. End of the line. Joel says, hashtag Warski AIDS death update. Is there a news? Andy Warski dies of AIDS. Let me Google it. Oh no, he's not dead. No. I'm falling on old news, so he's not dead yet of AIDS. I'm falling on some news that says Warski battled drug addiction and losing it all before boxing debut. Warski, a Canadian content creator who became famous as a controversial and edgy commentator, hit rock bottom before falling in love with boxing and earning a spot on the undercard of KSI's Ring Return. Dissident Echoes says, JF, did you bury the hatchet with Warski? No. No, I think he hates me for real. Like, I think he thinks I'm a psychopath. And the fact is, given the separation between our two levels of intelligence, I don't blame him. It's like, yes, I am a demanding guy to work with. And if you're retarded in your fucking head, you're going to find it fucking annoying who I am. Because it's like an average human being of average intelligence interacting with a gorilla. It's like, yeah, it's going to be super long for the gorilla to learn, and eventually the normal intelligence human being will get annoyed and he's going to be like, get the fucking food in the fucking box. And it's just what it is. There are levels of intelligence that are incompatible. Like, I talked to a 110 IQ and I'm like, that's annoying, bro. You're an annoying person. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, as I'm sure you know, there have been regimes in the past that tried to elevate the common person by playing classical music in the workplace or encouraging active and lively intellectual discussion. Could you imagine the weaponized normie after 5 years of free market JFG education and training? Interesting hypothesis, but I don't know. That I have faith in humanity enough that either my voice or classical music could change who they are. If you launch a so-called Twitter killer that censors people the second they join the app, it's not really a Twitter killer. I mean, look at this. Donald Trump Jr. This account has repeatedly posted false information that was reviewed by independent fact-checkers or went against our community guidelines. This is gatekeeping. This is you're trying to make a game that the right wing cannot win. And the right wing's response should be to not subscribe to your stuff. I'm not going there. I started an account to be able to view, but I put it in private mode. So because I had an Instagram account already, because sometimes I have to load Instagram photos for my for my research. And So I already had an automated way of building such an account from my Instagram. I did it, but I set it to private because I don't want people to go there to receive my updates. You have the full Zuckerberg service. All your threads are belong to us. They will use all this information and it will be collected along with your identity, health and fitness. So they're going to know your weight, the number of jogging sessions you do in the day, financial info, contact info, usage data, user content, browsing history, diagnostics, purchases, location, contacts, search history, identifiers, sensitive info. Please consent to us using sensitive information. By using our product, you are consenting to us using sensitive information about you. Meta launches, what site is that? It's Threads. It's the new supposed Twitter killer of Mark Zuckerberg. Meta launches data harvesting Twitter clone, immediately starts censoring. Joel Surrett says, Jeff, what is my sin? I think we share the same one. I have de la misère swallowing me pride. Working on it, though. He's talking in half English, half French. Swallowing my pride. Well, I can't deny, of course, when you make an error, it is hard. It is hard on you. And yes, I do feel that emotion like anyone, that when I've committed an error, I'd rather not recognize it. Like at first, I'm like, no, I didn't commit an error. Show me why. But I've been dealing with corrections extremely well in my life. Like I've been dealing with, okay, maybe I was wrong on this. Let us make amends. Let us say I was wrong. Here's why I was wrong. And honestly, if you're an emotionally mature man, as the trans person was saying, I'm an emotionally mature man. If you're an emotionally mature man, that shouldn't be too hard. And I don't think I've been. I think I've been good at acknowledging errors and correcting them. Swallowing my pride. I don't think it's a problem. Maybe it was a problem when I was a high testosterone young male. You know, when you're a teenager, young adult, you don't like being told that you're wrong. But I would say the older you get, the less problematic that is, because I don't care. My body is in decomposition. I'm part of the same compost heap as the rest of the world. I don't care. Whatever that emotion is that blocks you from acknowledging mistake is not super useful. It may be useful in a tribe of stupids, you know, in a tribe of stupids that will actually be convinced by your stubbornness. Perhaps it's good, but if you want to be at the top of the world in terms of intellectual engagement, there's no, you cannot have a detour around it. If you're wrong, you will have to recognize it because everyone will know that you were wrong. So, no, not a problem. We are God's unwanted children, says Joel Surrett. I predicted the trajectory of the Young Turks, says Oren McIntyre. So he was saying to Anna Kasparian in March, to her statement, I'm a woman, please don't ever refer to me as a person with a uterus, birthing person, or person who menstruates. And he says, no, you can't. The revolution doesn't stop just because it reaches something you hold sacred. It will consume what you hold dear, and you will find yourself a newly minted neocon. So he was predicting already in March. Eventually, Anna, because of that resistance of yours, you're going to get called right-wing. And here we are, based on the show yesterday, you know that as Anna abandoned the left, Anna Kasparian complains about mean leftists as she moves toward the right. That is a publication by The Surf, the guy that I owned on... the guy that I owned so hard on Modern Day Debate that there was actually a serious conversation after my debate with him, within the left, about whether he should stop debating. whether it would be better if he wasn't engaging in debate at all. That is just how much I owned him, where his leftist friend came to him and said, bro, maybe it's time you stop debating. Response rates by race in dating websites. So women responding to men. The highest response rates are basically black respond to black, but then all the races tend to respond more to white and less to Latino, black, and Asian. So the white man succeeds at getting more responses. So basically the Asian, Latino, and white females will respond to a white male. Men responding to women. So the men are super happy when they get contacted by an Asian woman. They are actually, they are more favorable to Asian women than any other race. And then, of course, you have lots of responses between each race. And somehow Asian men will respond eagerly to a Latino, perhaps more than they would do to an Asian woman. So the Asian woman, as I had predicted and as I had foreseen, the Asian woman is the hot thing right now on the dating websites. And of course, not surprising, the lowest response rates. Black women do not respond to white men. And then no one responds to black men. And no one responds to black women. Well, very interesting to see the data, but not particularly surprising. CNN as a whole story, our view of female power has changed. Because we had this body of a female that was found with a crystal dagger. And it's clear from the crystal dagger that and from the ostrich eggshell that were found close to her skeleton that she was a very important person. And we used to think that the skeleton had been identified as a young male. But now genetic test, a young male who would have died between 17-year-old and 25-year-old. But now a genetic test has revealed it was a female. And so CNN is making this whole story about, wow, females were the leaders of society before. This is a crystal dagger, okay? This looks very symbolic to me. I wouldn't think that this came from a warrior female who was like using this to lead war and to be a soldier. It could be her dagger to cut carrots, literally. So no, I'm not following CNN on this one. Bill de Blasio and wife Shirlen McRae to separate and date other people while still living together. Oh my God, another interracial couple that didn't work out. Bill de Blasio, the New York mayor, is that what Bill de Blasio is? He was the mayor of New York. David Levitt is complaining about the use of the word cunt on Twitter. Apparently it's okay to call people a cunt on Twitter Elon Musk, you want everyone calling you a cunt? Please fix this. Now, what David Levitt had not realized is that he was himself calling people cunt on Twitter. Do not concede is trending because of the worthless fucking cunt, Carrie Lake. You lost, bitch. Stop having your followers accuse Kathy Hobbs of being a cheater. So this guy, within a year, within the space of a year, can complain that cunt is being used on Twitter and yet has used it himself. If you hate ordinals, you might undervalue the Bitcoin network. Excellent article, because I am extremely enthusiastic about Bitcoin ordinals. Now, I'm not telling you buy Bitcoin NFTs. I'm not. There's a lot of the ordinals that will be crap, and don't see this as an investment. See it as a technology, though, and see it as a technology that you can use to put something in the public record forever, or for perhaps as long as whatever civilization we're in doesn't collapse. That makes me super enthusiastic about ordinals, and I agree. If you can't respect the ordinals, you don't even fully understand just how great Bitcoin will be. Because it's one thing to be the financial center of the world, which I think Bitcoin will become this, like within 50 years. But it's another thing to be the financial network of the world and the kind of archivist of eternal statements of the world. And that is the value of ordinals. So guys, that was it for tonight. Oh yeah, excellent news, but oh my God, should we have this before? This was way too long. A group of former U.S. National Security officials are holding secret talks with prominent Russians, including Foreign Minister Lavrov, with the aim of laying the groundwork for negotiations to end the war in Ukraine. Why did we fund any of this? The Russians got what they wanted to take, and you've been maintaining the public into an impression that we were funding some counteroffensive. This counteroffensive has nothing to show in terms of success. And you could have made these negotiations a year ago, and it would have been the same, but you wouldn't have spent these billions of dollars funding this ridiculous war and the ridiculous counteroffensive. So why didn't you do that earlier? Well, it's because the whole purpose of this war was to send this money. It was to just splash Ukraine with money and use an excuse for it. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you very much for being here, and I will see you all tomorrow. I am planning perhaps some vacation. I'm planning perhaps at the end of July. So in 3 weeks from now, I might miss the show for 3-4 days. I'll be taking some vacations, chilling with family, and just taking some summer vacation. I don't think I need more than 3 or 4 days. I don't think when you really love your job, I don't think there's any gain at extending vacations over weeks. I don't like it. The first thing that would happen during a 2-week vacation is I would start missing the show and I would want to come back. So expect at the end of July that I'll disappear from the internet for maybe 3 or 4 days. Much love, and see you all tomorrow.